Welcome to A New Way to Handle Absolutely Everything with your host, Elise Coit.
And welcome. So glad to have you here. Good morning, Seattle. Good morning, everyone listening across the world on the internet and via podcast. Thank you so much. Namaste to you this morning. Welcome to A New Way to Handle Absolutely Everything. I'm Elise Coit, and I am thrilled to have Jack Armstrong here today. He is going to talk about his book, Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. And I'm using the words his book slightly carefully because I know that Jack wrote the book through interdiction. And so the title's just a little bit of a giveaway on the real author's name. We'll talk about that. And in this show, we're also going to explore the spiritual principles that are in the book. We were lucky enough to have Jack talk about how he uses the book. We'll go through some practical suggestions about how to live some spiritual truths in our lives and what some of those universal truths are. Jack will talk about how the book has changed his life, and I'm hoping it will make a difference to yours, too. So thank you for being here. So welcome to the show, Jack. It's a pleasure to have you.
What a delight to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
You are welcome. So if we were to start out, I mean, what would you want to say to listeners, as someone who has no idea really about what is in your book? Could you give us just a quick kind of couple of lines about what this book means for you? Pretend that you have to explore it. Yeah. No, give us a 2-minute summary of the entire book so no one has to read it.
Thank you for that challenge. That's wonderful.
Yeah, just easy. I start with easy stuff.
Without going into all the details, which maybe we'll get to later, of where the material came from, I think the book helps people make sense out of life and the challenges that they face. I think it's especially important now. You know, people are faced with a lot of loss and fear and uncertainty and just with what's going on in the world. And I think we all long to kind of understand what's true and what's real for us, and we want something to believe in, but often people haven't really found a belief system that makes sense for them. It was interesting, the Newsweek cover story the other week, where lots of people moving away from organized religion, and yet you see the phrase often, spiritual but not religious. Mm-hmm. And I think people believe in a higher power, but they want to kind of develop a relationship with that power in their own way. But maybe they haven't actually found that way. This book offers some really profound concepts in language that's easy to understand. Doesn't mean it's easy to integrate, but it's easy to understand. And it uses analogies to real-life situations, and it even suggests some specific techniques. And, you know, like any spiritual book, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. But based on the feedback that I'm getting, individuals for whom it is an appropriate touch point are apparently gaining a lot. Was that 2 minutes? Or
you weren't really stuck to 2 minutes. I just like to make it hard.
Yeah, well, you...
I mean, this so much in what you've said, I'm going to pick up on how you've written the book in just a moment, but this idea that people are leaving religion and we're describing ourselves more and more as spiritual but not religious, and I think I see this a lot too. You know, we stop going to church, and we know what we don't want, and that's true in general too. You know, we come to know what repels us, what doesn't work for us, what we don't like, but then constructing the other side of that, what does work for me? What is it that I believe in? Where do I want to go? We know a lot more. I mean, sometimes you'll even ask people the question, what do you want? And they'll start describing what they don't want. Mm. You know, it's very hard for us to have a positive...
And when you describe what you don't want, that's what comes to you.
Right, and that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, we won't even go there.
Right, but so I also found, I'm just going to say to people that Lessons from the Source, Jack's book, is exactly what he described. It is a small, very succinctly written book, and it really is a series of profound truths, and then there are some little lessons in here, sort of little practices as well. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Jack?
The place where the specific techniques really show up is in a section about rejecting and releasing the negativity in our lives. And that's tied to a whole bunch of stuff that comes before about how we are spiritual beings having a physical existence and get caught up in the physical realm and kind of give power to illusions that sort of wear us down. And interestingly, and this stuff just came through at various times, but it gives a few techniques. The most important thing being really is recognizing the negativity when it shows up and then realizing what's happening and letting it go. I just opened the book to a section under, it's called Recognize and Acknowledge the Situation. And I'm just going to read you a paragraph. It says, after you've identified what it is that is the source of the negative emotion, laugh at it. See it for the insignificant impact it can have on your true existence, and find the humor in the situation. If you are one with the true power in the universe, how can a situation outside of that power affect you at all? Obviously, it cannot. There is, in fact, humor in your thought that it could affect you at all. It is like a mighty animal being afraid of an ant. If such a situation were presented in cartoon form to a child, he would find it extremely silly. Use this analogy if it is helpful. You too should find the situation silly and laugh it off. As you know, laughter can diffuse many situations that are perceived to be full of tension. You do not need to laugh out loud, but it is important that you see the humor in your giving power to a circumstance or situation that deserves none. Laugh to yourself, and it will be much easier for you to dismiss the situation as insignificant.
That's wonderful, and I'm guilty as charged. I really, I know that's not what it was saying. You know, now take this away and beat yourself up with this information. But, you know, I was really thinking how often in my life, and those who know me will probably be laughing right now, because they'll be thinking, yeah, because Elise is so serious. And even though I laugh a lot on the show, and we have a great time on the show, and it is the same when I'm working with clients. You know, I'll use that to break through sort of, you know, when you're locked in a story. I remember someone saying to me, you know, once I was going on and on about all this negative stuff, and they said, well, you know, you might be the single exception in the universe, you know, the only person who was not created in his likeness, right? It kind of broke my little story about whatever I was on. So I do tend to be, but I do tend to be serious. And I'm lightening up is just, well, you read that for me, so we can go on and talk about it. That was just for me. Thank you.
How did I know?
I know. Let's continue to talk more about the book and just really what it contains, because that obviously is where the power and the beauty of it is. And we will talk about, you know, how you received the book and why you describe yourself as a scribe rather than an author. I've just given the whole thing away so we all know where we're headed. But really, there are so many things. And the one thing in the book that really struck me was this whole concept of your good. There are two chapters in the book, or two parts in the book specifically, if not more, one accessing your good and the other claiming your good. And I just to start with one of the deep principles of the book, to give people an idea of how, I want to use the word comforting in a way, because although it's a very nice idea that we are living in our good, and yet in the points in the book where it really got through and I understood that that was actually the case, a kind of very deep peace would roll over, and that was my experience of this book in several places. I wanted to share that with you and also ask you to talk about this idea of your good.
It's interesting. That specific concept has been really difficult for a lot of people to absorb. And let me just step back a minute and put that into a broader context. When people ask me, you know, what the book says, it's really hard to condense it. But it seems to me that there are three sort of overriding principles that are the context for everything else in the book. One is that we all are one, that we are one with each other and with all of creation, and all of creation was created by the source, everything is a manifestation of that source, that there is an unseen and probably understood unity of everything. The second of those three is that we are eternal spiritual beings having a simultaneous and yet temporary physical experience, and it's that physical experience and the challenges it offers that causes our challenges in the world. And the third is that our good is always here, and it's always accessible to us, and that there are blessings in every situation. And people have said, well, one other thing, what is repeated frequently in the book in regard to all three of those is you just need to accept that this is true and live your life as if it were, even though your conscious mind can't understand it at all. And there will be all those questions, just like the ones that come up about good. Well, how can you say that there's good in Rwanda? How can you say that there's good in a guy in Alabama killing 15 people? And I don't have an answer for that. But if we can get to a point where we can accept each of those constructs and live our lives as if they were true, even though we don't have a clue how or why they might be true, it brings a certain peace, and your good keeps showing up. Did I answer that question for you?
I have no idea.
I think I went off on a bit of a tangent
it's
there.
Okay. Just before we go to the break, the live as if idea. You know, I was, I'll give an example of someone that I was working with this week in my own coaching practice, and, you know, who is looking for a job and has met a lot of her own demons in this process, as well as what she would call, you know, a lot of resistance from the world. And a lot of, you know, this isn't so easy, and, you know, putting the experience of putting out a lot of resumes and not getting a response to every single one. And we were talking about the whole thing, and this, you know, the image of her looking for a job, I'm sure many people can relate to. You're putting out your resume, you're getting stuff back, you're either going or not going on interviews. It's a very real kind of experience.
I've been there.
In terms of what's going on. What your mind does with that is quite another thing. And what we talked about was, well, assuming that's just what you're going to do, right, you're not going to do anything else, you're going to keep sending resumes, you're going to keep doing this, you're going to keep researching, you're going to keep doing it, what attitude are you going to bring to it? Do you want to bring the attitude that nobody's interested in you, there are no jobs out there, you're too old, too fat, too whatever, and come from that place? Because that's just what you're bringing, right? Even if you've got evidence that there's some resistance out there or you're picking up on stuff, it's still, you're bringing it. When you bring the attitude and say, no one's going to call me because, and you predict your future based on it, that's you doing that, right? You can do all the job search and everything you need to do from whatever attitude you want to do. You want to do it from a place like that? You can. But you have a choice. And I think what you're saying is, this isn't about making it up, but you sure have a choice about the attitude you bring. So if you're going to bring something, which would you like to bring?
And I think, you know, there's a whole section in the book about giving power to illusions. And illusions are the perceptions of negativity, and they cause emotions in our human minds, like fear and doubt and worry and so on and so forth. And those are self-perpetuating. And we give them power when we've got the power, but we give it away to situations like that. And I think that ties right in with what you were saying. If you're focusing on, gosh, I'm never going to hear back, and so on and so forth, you're giving power to that belief, which you know, you're fostering, really.
Yeah. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about why you have the power. And we'll be back with Jack Armstrong after the break. See you in just a moment. Thank you. And welcome back. I'm back with Jack Armstrong, the scribe I'm going to call you a scribe now. You're going to be happier with that, Jack, of lessons from the source.
That's probably the most accurate term that I could come up with.
Should we talk about that a little bit? I mean, I know we said we were going to talk about who has the power, and we'll come back to that. But let's talk a little bit about why you consider yourself a scribe of this book and this material.
Sure. Just before I do that, when you were speaking just prior to this and you talked about authors' websites, it occurred to me that if people are listening and they're sort of curious about this, there are a lot of excerpts from the book on lessonsfromthesource.com. And also information about the scribe thing that we're going to talk about right now. This is a long and somewhat embarrassing story to tell. More than 30 years ago, I began, and I truly don't remember how or where or when, but I began taking dictation from thoughts, basically. I would sit and realized that there were some things in there, and I'd just start writing them out. And as this continued, it was pretty stunning. I mean, remarkable stuff coming through my pen, and basically in final form. When I love words, I love writing, and when I write my own stuff, I will edit it to death and strive for perfection, you know, multiple drafts. And this stuff basically doesn't need editing. And I didn't know what was happening. I'll just lay it out for you. I ignored it. And it was during those 30 years, there were some times that I was going through some really tough struggles. And this information clearly was designed, at least immediately at that point, to help me, to give me guidance and suggestion of what to do. What did I do with it? I put it in the nightstand beside my bed and never read it again. But for some reason, kept it and kept writing over the years. And I knew all along that that same voice, though it isn't a voice, it's just thoughts, was making it very clear that this was supposed to be shared with other people. And there was no way I was going to do that, because what would they think if they found out I was doing this? And I hadn't told anyone about this. I didn't have a frame of reference for channeling. I thought it was weird yet interesting, and nobody knew about it. But now they do.
So you've been outed.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I think adds something to how people can consider the material. Well, I wanted to come back, Jack, to what we were talking about who has the power, because that's pretty pertinent in this case, right? To see and to reaffirm that it is ourselves who have the power.
Yeah.
And I know cases of separation and divorce are often very sticky in this way, because we feel like, or cases of abuse or many, many areas of our life where we feel that really we don't have the power. Should we talk a little bit more about why it is that we do? You were talking before that we give things the power, and, you know, who is it who really in the end has the power in our lives? And I thought we'd explore that a little bit more on what Paul was talking about.
If we all are one with the source of our being and with the source of all creation, and if that source is omnipotent, and if we are expressions, individual expressions of that source, we have inherently those same qualities of the source. But, you know, we forget that, I think, as soon as we come into the physical world, and we get caught up in all the drama, and we focus on these things that are referred to in the book as illusions, which seem very real to us, but the book talks about the importance of viewing our physical reality from the perspective of our spiritual reality. And if you can do that, that gives it a perspective where you sort of realize, oh, well, yeah, I'm operating in that plane right now too, but I'm also a spiritual being with all of that. And you need to balance those two identities, knowing that the power is there, and doing your best not to releasing it to something else.
do your best. Isn't it interesting? Simple concepts across some of the deepest texts and most profound insights about life and in this universal wisdom are things like that. Do your best.
Yeah.
Listen. And, you know, for someone like me who's made this a complex endeavor full of struggle, to come closer and closer through my life to a place where it feels that I can let go of those ideas and let this be easier is wonderful.
Even the concept of doing your best, I think that can be viewed from either of those identities, too. I mean, when I was a kid, I got the message that your best is none too good, which meant that you're none too good. You know, you can do your best, but hey, it's not going to be good enough.
Right.
And that's, you know, and when that sort of message is drummed in, it's harder to, you know, stay in touch with that the best is already there, you know, and you just need to tap into that best.
Yeah, there's a quote from your book as well that I was thinking about, which is your mind is where you rule your world.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of decide about this stuff too. You know, we decide and we get some input about, as you said, you know, your best is none too good. But then we take it on, and then the mind makes a meal of it, and makes a life about it. Right? How many times has something happened in someone's life that you've talked to many, many years ago, and yet they've made their entire life about that event?
Oh, and I did that as well. And
I've done it too. I mean,
I'm in my mid-60s, and it was only in recent years that I was able to let go of that. And the material in this book and in all the other writings that were done over the years, I finally pulled them back out and started reading them and taking them seriously. And something in that allowed me to sort of tune back in and kind of release a lot of those old beliefs, but they can last a lifetime.
It's been interesting to me, and then we'll go to the commercial break, how things that have been, I've come across in my life, much as you described, you know, putting this into the nightstand. You know, I remember working on A Course in Miracles in the 80s, and I was the translator or the main organizer of all the translations for the first translations for A Course in Miracles, and I worked for them for many years. And throughout the entire time, I would pretty much tell people, you know, I'm not a student of the Course. I've read the Course end to end more times than I could count, plus reading the translations, but yet I wasn't a student of the Course. And this has come back to me later as I realized that, you know, I had deep contact with something that was, was there and ready to be taken, but I didn't take it.
Yeah, I think that's very similar to what happened with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll go to a break, and we'll come back with Jack Armstrong, the author of, or the scribe of, Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey, who you can find on www.lessonsfromthesource.com. See you in just a few.
Ever had a conversation and felt like a weight was just lifted off your shoulders? Every Friday at 10 a.m. on A New Way to Handle Absolutely Everything with Elise Coit, we'll explore being powerful, capable, master problem solvers. Join Elise, who's a certified integrative life coach, and her guests for an hour of consciously and joyously handling absolutely everything. Don't you feel lighter already?
And welcome back. And Jack, welcome back from our break.
Well, thank you.
We were talking about the book a little bit. We talked about how you wrote the book, Lessons from the Source, from inner dictation, and a little bit about how the book is kind of a course that you can work with. Not a course so much as it is material organized in such a way and in kind of a simple fashion that allows you to use it. Tell us a little bit about how you use material and how others could.
Sure. But just while you're talking about the course and inner dictation, I had no frame of reference, as I think I said, for what was happening to me. And during the course of putting the book together, the editor I was working with sent me to a book called With the Tongues of Men and Angels, A Study of Channeling. And in there, interdictation was very precisely defined as a form of channeling. And it was exactly, described exactly what was happening. And it also referred to A Course in Miracles, and I found, and there's a link on my website under the part that talks about the process, to the Course in Miracles site, where there's an audio recording of Helen Schuckman describing the process, and I could use exactly the same words. And that was very validating, especially coming from a point where I didn't have a clue what was happening. So,
it must be a little odd when you're actually, you know, I'm sure that's why it ended up in the drawer, right? I mean, it's a little odd, like I'm getting this stuff and it looks important, but, you know, yeah, it's good that, I'm glad that there's a body of work out there now that doesn't make it so, what did you call it before? Weird.
It was confusing to me. But anyway, didn't mean to digress. You were talking about the...
No, but probably Neil Donald Walsh and other people would have had similar experiences.
I think so. I mean, that sounds, you know, his experience sounds very much the same. He made it into a dialogue where this book and A Course in Miracles and the kind of language used in the Course and in Lessons from the Source is very different. But that process just appears to me to have been identical.
And here's the thing, I'll just interject and then we'll go to the topic, but, you know, here's the thing that strikes me about all of this, and I kind of get the opportunity to sit across a lot of different authors' books and talking to people, and what I notice is that, yes, you know, this, it comes through you, but the principles are recognizable across the board, which is why it's not important to, you know, to find something and stick with it to the end of your life. There's so much going on, so much that's coming in exactly the form that you might want it, in exactly the way that will speak to you, in exactly the way that you might want to work with it, that you can go and find what works for you. And I say this to listeners, you know, and work with it for as long as it works, and then find what works next. You know, I think if it is a journey, there are steps. And what I like to bring with the show are, you know, whatever will help anyone or assist anyone with the steps. So we'll talk a little bit with Jack about how he uses this so you can get an idea of how you might and what's in here.
No, I agree completely with what you're saying. And I believe there is only one truth with, you know, an infinite number of interpretations of it, any one of which might be helpful to any one person. And I've often compared it to a diamond with an infinite number of facets. And, you know, you look through different facets and you get a different perspective, but it's the same diamond. And it really doesn't matter which facet works for you. I mean, people who are involved in organized religions and that experience is meaningful for them, that facet is perfect, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that one, and that's where we need to, I think, also be careful that we start to think that one is better than another. And that's, of course, the cause of much thought war and much physical war.
Yeah, and I try to convince no one that what's in here is right or for them. I'm sharing it with the world, and I'm putting it out there in the hope that those people for whom it will be helpful will find it. But if it's not helpful, that's perfectly okay too.
Well, luckily, your inner dictator, I was going to say.
Whoever that was.
Yeah. You know, luckily, it has been meaningful for you. So let's talk about a little bit about how you have worked with this. I know that in some cases, the lessons were very specific to you. So how do you work with this now, today, now that it's here and it's in book form? And then how would other people... or could other people use it based on what you found?
Part of the challenge for me in putting it into book form was that there were many different themes and topics, and I had to sort of figure out how to organize them. So the what appears in the book is not a sequential presentation of what came out, and all of this was from a 3-month period in 1995. But I've tried to put it together in a way that for people new to this stuff, if they read it from beginning to end, it sort of builds on itself. But it's the kind of book that you really can open anywhere, and as is the case so often with spiritual books, and if it's a book that you need at a specific time, often if you open it to a page at random, it has the message that you need right there. And it's broken up into sort of bite-sized chunks, for lack of a better term, but little concise segments that people are saying to me they're using as a daily devotional. I sort of anticipated people would sit down and read the whole book, and you know, maybe you can, but there's so much in every sentence almost that you kind of just need to sit there with it and think about it, and the tone of it is kind of like a mentor or a wise, non-judgmental, non-dogmatic friend who is just saying, you know, here's this, and you really know it, you just need to remember it, and
right.
As I use it, I often, and I've read these particular lessons hundreds of times, but often I'll pick up one and, wow, I didn't remember that it struck me that way.
And this is very common as well. And I wanted to say, I was telling Ariel Ford about your book and described it to her as the kind of the condensed and friendly, user-friendly version of A Course in Miracles.
Wow.
And what you've said just now is quite true. It will give you a nugget, very dense, but also very simple. So, for example, here's an example that I flipped to. True energy is a field around you and through you. And then it goes on. So you'll get, as if, you know, much like the lessons in A Course in Miracles, you'll get a dense and somewhat like a kind of stoppage thing where you think, okay, what does that mean? And then it will explain. And that's true of many, many things that I underlined in the book. You know, what is divine order? Divine order is the ultimate operating system that is so perfect and reliable beyond the slightest doubt that conscious attention to it or concern about it is not necessary. And then, example, the sun rises each morning, da-da-da-da-da-da. So you can, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to be flippant when I say da-da-da-da-da-da, but just not to go into all the details because we're actually running out of time. And it does talk about, you know, your job in this. This is the truth, or this is the principle, this is the wisdom, and here's your part. And here's the part that's his part. And I like that as well. We were talking about that before the show. And I know we're going to run out of time, Jack. It's been so nice talking to you.
Wow, it has just flown by.
Hasn't it just? Now, what is it that you've learned by working with this book? And I'm going to say, what have you learned about your spiritual practice by working with this book that you think might be of use to others? What would you like to pass on to listeners about one thing that you've learned in your own spiritual practice through this work?
Maybe not specifically to my spiritual practice, but what I have come to really be in awe of is creativity. And I think we all have access to stuff out there that doesn't currently exist in the physical world. And a friend of mine who's a writer once compared it to this great pool of creativity, and it flows to us, you know, if we're willing to let it flow in different forms. And this, for some reason, this gift was given to me. Other people view it through art or music or whatever, but it's expression of some divine reality that's out there that isn't visible or tangible now, but we all have access to it in different ways. And I, you know, I just want to encourage people to find whatever that way is that they can allow goodness to flow through them and benefit the world.
And the way is the most important part. I often talk about that as access. In other words, it's not that the truth's not there. It's not that the good isn't there. It's not that at all. It's access to it. Do I have access to that understanding right now as I stand here in this situation? You know, what is my access like? And do I make sure that access is clear? you know, that I'm not, it's not cluttered with my buzzing mind or, you know, my focus on gossip or whatever it is, whatever that means for you. So.
There's a, well, no, I know we're out of time, but there's a wonderful thing in there about flow, and it talks, it says the flow is always there, and you can turn the spigot off, but the water's always there. You can dam up a river, but it's always there, but it's your decision whether to allow it or not.
Yeah, and it's very, very kindly and comfortingly put in the book, and yet very, very strong and straightforward about what that really means. Because that flow is not like, la la la, that's, you know, that's the universal force. That is the energy that created worlds. That is what we're talking about. So thank you, Jack Armstrong, who brought us Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You can find out more about Jack on Twitter as Source Lessons, and also on his website, lessonsfromthesource.com, and that will all be in the forum if you missed it. Do not worry. If you're listening on the archives, live in Seattle, or over the Internet, I thank you for being here. Jack, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
It really was. I just enjoyed every minute of it, so thank you to everyone who listened. Such an enjoyable time today. I'll look forward to being with you next Friday at 10 on A New Way to Handle Absolutely Everything.